You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the Dan Le Batour Show with the Stukats Podcast.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Stu, can you hear me? Are you going to the Dead Show at Wrigley this weekend?
I am.
Which night?
Friday.
Oh, I think I'm going Friday.
Awesome.
Want to do shrooms together?
Sure.
I haven't gotten tickets yet, but I think I'm going to go.
Okay. Have you gotten the shrooms yet?
Nah, that's easy.
I got a guy.
Do you want to do shrooms together?
What's a Thorpe bird?
I don't know.
Oh, I figured that out yesterday. I did figure it out.
You figured it out?
Yes, because he confused. He thought, because right afterward, he said, I forgot Ted Hendricks, whose nickname is the Mad Stork. He thought that a stork was a Thorpe. That's the thing that he had done in his head. Because
did you think that, Stugas?
No. I really thought there was a Thorpe bird. Like, Ron McGill did get back to me. He said he's never heard of that. So I think we have our confirmation. I can't explain what happened other than a Dead Show.
Okay, can you guys play the sound? Whittingham, do you have the capacity to just play the sound for the people on how he went from athletes who connote birds, 5 and 4 and 3? You got stuck on number 4.
I did.
And you were proud of number 4. And the part I'd like for you to explain to me is how immediately after we started questioning you on what the hell's a Thorpe bird, you were in the middle of that and you said, oh, I forgot Ted Hendricks, the Mad Stork.
Right.
And there was no link to anything that we were discussing there.
I think someone brought him up and I did think of Ted Hendricks. I didn't think of him as, you know, is it Hendricks or is it Thorpe? I just put Thorpe in there because I was excited because I thought there was a Thorpe bird. And Jim Thorpe is one of the greatest athletes of all time. And so I thought the Thorpe bird was so rare that I had really come up, like I dug deep and I came up with a really good one. I don't have an explanation. I mean, other than Stugatz.
And my theory, theory is no good either. Who was it that exposed Whittingham's fraud this morning of how he enters with pleasantries that seem caring but are really just throwaway lines meant to give the illusion that he cares? Who started that conversation and how naked did you guys leave Whittingham because he realized that he's a bit of a fraud?
Well, we noticed that Witty was very friendly this morning. He was very, no, not Witty, Bob was greeting everybody very happily. Friendly, yeah. And I was like, it was just noticeable. So he walked out like a normal person. Once he left the room, I was like, wow, Bob's really excited today. And Witty's like, you know, and when he went into this whole spiel about when he worked at Univision, he learned that you're supposed to greet. What did you learn at Univision, Witty?
Yeah, so I realized as a real asshole when I started working at Univision because everyone there, every single day when you walk in, every single person who's in the newsroom says hello as if it's the first time they've seen them in months. And it's full of, you know, men handshake, hug, men and women kiss on the cheek every single day. Even, and I was working there.
Weird.
I think it's commentated.
Just Latin. It's just
Latin. No, of course it is. But it's like,
no, but he's saying, Stugatz is here weird. And I'm like, no, it's just
a bit strange.
But it's just Latin.
So I was working there. I think I might have commentated the last sporting event before the pandemic canceled everything. Wow. It was a Sunday night, Cruz Azul, and I want to say it was Club America. It was a Mexican League game. And it was like the last sporting event. It was the last stand. And that night.
Let me stop you for a second.
They should have canceled that one as well.
Jessica rolled her eyes at you on one thing, and Chris Cody wanted to get in here, and I'd like for them to comment on whatever it is that they had. Jessica, I think you rolled your eyes on I was a real asshole at Univision.
Well, yeah. Because, yeah.
The past tense is what got you there. You rolled your eyes at the was.
This office has a real issue with saying good morning to people. You know what, Whitty, you're actually maybe one of the only people who actually says it. Sometimes I walk in and Mike and Dan are in the middle of like some very intense conversation and I just kind of like slide through and sit down and I don't know what to do with myself. I put my headphones back in and I'm like, all right, it's not the morning yet. No one said anything to me.
We're not very good at greetings around here.
Terrible. We had a conversation this morning, and I think Chris knows where this is going to go, about how Chris greets people in the morning, and one person in particular today.
Well, it was just a request via text. Look, he's making fun of me because I started a conversation via text with just what I wanted to say, as opposed to, hello, good morning, how are you doing today, and then get to what.
It wasn't just what I wanted, it was an order for breakfast.
All right, so you say
without good morning and pleasantries.
But like via text, I'm not big into like, oh, these fake pleasantries via text with somebody. How are you today?
That's the lesson of Univision, guys.
You could just be
guys.
Pleasant.
The lesson of Univision is pleasantries are important. You should.
I put an emoji. My text had an emoji that gave
everyone.
Off friendliness.
It's an important part
Which
of life.
Which emoji was it? This
it was
important.
Like the sinister laugh, like because I was asking for something. Yeah. It was like a jokingly asking for something.
He said breakfast sandwiches and then a sinister emoji.
Right.
And then he said
a cheeky request.
See, there's so
good
much
morning,
here.
By the way.
There's like we have oh, me and Kristen way. Have a repartee. Is that what I said? Did I say that right?
It's
we have
a repartee.
A repartee. We have a thing.
Close.
A repartee. It sounds like a rap party.
Right, that means like we have it. Like this is like normal. Like you guys are making this seem like yeah. Yes. Like it's just, this is.
So you have a rapport where you get her, where she gets you sandwiches.
She's done it once.
Only Bimmel has that.
Well, generally Bimmel. When Bimmel's around, the sandwiches show up.
Yeah. I don't
exactly.
So I was like, I just sent her a little text. I was just like, what can we pretend Bimmel's here today? A little pretend Bimmel.
You know what you should have done? You actually should have been like, oh, I heard last minute Bimmel's coming. We better get on the sandwiches.
You think that there are no pleasantries required as a...
So I should have been like, hello, good morning, Kristen. How are you today?
A person that you do not know and you have met 6 weeks ago.
I text with almost all of you and never do I get these like, hello, Chris, good morning, before I say what I would like to text with you. It's just, you get to the point. It's a text. It's not an in-person greeting.
It's a text that lands differently when someone you met 6 weeks ago, you're just launching a breakfast order at them.
That's not my first text exchange with her. If that was my first text exchange with her ever, I'm with you. But we, yeah, like I said, we rap all the time.
What was the last text with her before that one?
Let's read your whole conversation going back to when you first
Whittingham.
All right, here we go. Yesterday.
Have you ever asked her for anything other than egg sandwiches?
Funny thing is yesterday she texted me about something food related, but she said hi first. Yeah. Damn it. So if I would have just wrote hi.
Yes.
So if I just put the word hi in front of that. You guys are all full of shit, all of you.
It's a fake hi. I mean,
what
you're
a fake
right.
Hi. It's like, hi. Hi. Yes. Breakfast sandwiches? Question mark.
Getting
sinister face.
Speaking of fake, Whittingham. You learned at Univision, as Latin people were exceedingly Latin. There were hugs. Everybody was happy to be at work.
Every morning?
There was a general jovialness.
Stugatz, I called, the last sporting event before the pandemic, and that night, every single person there kissed each other, like, hello.
Wow.
It was like the pandemic was spreading. The sports world was closing, and even still, they were committed to kissing each other on the cheek every single
day. Should we do that?
I don't know about that.
There was when the world shut down, no one was concerned about getting COVID. It took like 2 weeks of us not being able to go anywhere before everyone was like, I need to walk 6 feet. I used to walk my dog. I'd get off the sidewalk and walk through bushes to not be too close to people because I had no idea how this thing was spreading. I was like, no, thank you.
Roy, give me a kiss on the cheek.
I'll punch you in the cheek.
Okay, very good.
Wow.
Billy, I'm still doing that, by the way.
Are you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Avoiding other people and dogs, of course.
It was actually great for people.
Except that you go to super spreaders.
Yeah. It was great for people that didn't like to be social because it was like, yeah, no, I can't go to your birthday party because, you know.
COVID.
I want
to. So
do you forget that you go to dead concerts and that there are pictures of you totally baked?
I try to make up for it when I'm walking my dog. I mean,
that's right.
Balance it out, you know?
So all of that is to say that I was shamed for how I greet people, at which point Witty was like, I learned. I am now a great hello person. And then I was like, Witty, you say every day, y'all right?
Yeah.
That's your hello.
That
he was like, he was taking
days.
Some victory lap, like he's this big greeter, but he always just says, "You all right?"
I usually precede it with a "Good morning, Chris." Tony, every day you walk through the door, I say "Good morning," correct?
Yeah, that's true. But you also hit me with an "All right."
All right. That's my good second. Morning, that's my second remark.
Chris, you all right?
Said, good morning,
Tony. Right?
They're empty right? though. They're empty remarks.
It's very empty.
You don't really care if I'm all right or not.
What?
If I tell you no, I'm not all right. You'd be like, "All right, stop
ever?
What I'm doing."
Do you
and
ever? No one ever answers that.
The first time he ever did it, my lip quivered.
What did
why?
He say?
He's trimming. Why do you know?
What secrets? What vulnerable secrets have I been giving away? He knows I'm not all right.
We have the correspondence between Chris Cody and
it's really deep.
Kristen.
Oh, you got
to
it
determine whether or not this conversation merits a hello. This is going back.
This is the entirety of the text history.
This is going
Chris.
Back from May 10th. This is. No. I will play the role of Kristen, and Chris Whittingham will be.
Oh no.
Chris Cody.
Oh no.
Hey, will you be ordering lunch?
No thanks.
Oh well, there's an extra chicken.
You hear, wait, did you guys hear the thanks? No, thanks.
Hold on.
No, thank you.
Let us get through
exclamation
this.
Mark like, or no?
You can be plenty,
surprised to hear the no.
You can be plenty defensive on the back end. Start again.
This is again. We'll restart. Hey, will you be ordering lunch?
No, thanks.
Oh well, there's an extra chicken I ordered.
Wow. End scene.
How nice.
Start of next scene. Breakfast sandwiches? Question mark. Devil emoji.
Good morning, son. I brought some croquetas. Let me see what I can do.
He's good morning you.
Croquetas work. I was just throwing it out there.
See? That's just me. Like,
I hear you.
That's a good point.
That was very polite of Chris because he hates croquetas.
I hate croquetas.
He hates them.
I don't hate them, but I just don't, will never choose them. But I was like, hey, those are totally fine.
Why did
no
that
problem.
Merit you standing up?
Because it was like, I'm getting attacked here.
Right. I'm on your side.
It's worth a stand.
Yeah, thank you.
I hear you. I wish I could order every day. End scene.
Thank you. Oh, well, I forgot to take out extra wine for the shoot. I have one bottle. Should we have Kyle or Danny stop by the studio early?
Hi. No problem.
I
met with
said hi.
Kyle, and he's bringing two bottles and Miomi products.
Not you. No, you're never the one saying hi. She's
that
saying
request, that request is I forgot to bring what I was supposed to do the shoot. Send someone there and then
well,
the
no,
parkland.
That was the day before confirming that we had bottles of wine for the shoot. That was the day before.
Also,
that was
note
not
that
last
you
minute.
Just text her out of the blue and she responds with hi every time.
Yeah,
but
she's we'll very ahead. Nice, yeah.
She is.
Can I order? You question mark.
That was because there was a text sent about lunch, and I was like still trying to get in. It
so
was like
defensive.
I missed the lext, yeah. the time period to like order the lunch, and
right.
I
missed
a lunch text.
There's a window.
We are reading your text exchange with your supplier, and you have no time to greet this person. You're getting right to action every time. It's like breakfast tacos. He's like, where are the croquetas? Who's sponsoring the wine? I forgot. Like. She is your consumption supplier. You can say hello to her instead of just throwing breakfast sandwich emojis at her.
I want to read everyone's text exchanges here with your
Billy,
fake hellos.
Billy,
hello, good morning. How are you today?
You are saying that you side with Chris Cody on this.
In that instance, I did. I side with Kristen. She's nice. She hung out with my parents.
I love Kristen.
I mean,
why
she supplies you
painted?
Sandwiches. Why
tell her
you
once
love
in a while.
Her?
I'm being painted as the anti-Kristen person. Right.
So what did you learn, Whittingham? You're coming through, and what were you taught?
I was taught to every single day. There was actually a coworker of mine who pulled me aside and gave me a genuine talking to. It was... There was an ex-footballer who actually is a former Ballon d'Or winner who came up to me and said, how come you don't say hi to people? How come? You come through this office every day. You don't say hi to people.
And that's when you say, what's it to you? I say hi how I want.
And I quivered.
Leave me alone, Pele.
I curled up into a ball, and I said, you know, what are you going to do? And I you know what I did the next day? I went around.
You're right.
I went around the...
Leroy Horde getting it done.
I went around the office every day from there on in. Older gentleman, handshake and a hug every single
kiss
day.
Kiss on the mouth.
all of the hosts got kisses on the cheek. I was very friendly. I asked about families and all that stuff. What do you mean you don't like that?
Why did only the hosts get the, you know, the added? Well,
it was you know, men right. with women, but, and then men with men. It was a handshake and a hug.
But you had worked with these people for 3 months and you'd never done that.
Did
so
they
it's
think
weird,
it was weird
if you just show up on a Monday like, I'm a kisser.
I would rather
I'm a kisser now.
I would rather correct behavior. Also, it's not like I'm a kisser that distinguishes me from everyone else. Everyone there kisses each other.
But you were known as the non-kisser.
Yeah, I know, but then vulnerable. I show up the next day, and now I've assimilated to the culture of the building.
No, but Chris Cody is right about this. There is great discomfort in the bridge of you used to be a non-kisser. On the day you decide to be a kisser, there are all sorts
of
questions.
There was talk in the kitchen that day. They're like, you see Whitty? He kissed me. What happened he kissed there? Me too. What's going on there?
I went the other way. I used to be like a hello, kiss, and hug person, and now like whenever I meet anyone, especially for the first time, it's just like an awkward, like, do I shake your hand? Do I not shake your hand?
Fist bump.
Like, the days of hugging.
I go head
elbow. Elbow bump. Yeah. You guys ever do the elbow bump during COVID?
We did the bump, but I feel like the elbow bump is over.
We're back to the fist bump.
It's a fist.
Really?
If you're still throwing the elbow out there, we're a little worried about you.
What?
Is that right?
I mean, especially you, Stu Gatz, who go to dead shows all the time. You can't be doing elbows.
It's a head nod for me, still.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I don't judge head nodders, elbowers, fisters. What? I don't judge any of these people.
I just don't know what people are comfortable with. So, like, I don't want to be presumptuous and be like, this is a hello kiss situation. And it's like, this person is not about this.
But don't
I'm just the awkward one that then insults that person because I don't give them a proper greeting.
Don't you also have the difficulty also as just a Latin man who grew up in Miami where some people, you don't know whether they're Latin or not because they've been Americanized. And so sometimes you don't know when to, before pandemic, when to greet somebody with a kiss and when not to greet somebody with a kiss.
Yeah, that's why I just stopped. I just don't anymore.
It's because of the awkwardness.
It's always awkward when
you're going in. I don't
want
to make them feel uncomfortable.
When you're going in for like a hug and like they kind of go for the kiss, but like you end up just like touching faces and like no one actually makes the kissing sound. You know, you ever been there?
Where it's like, I agree.
There's like that awkward middle ground of like, oh, this is okay. We're doing more than a handshake. There's some sort of embrace
here. Are we hugging? Are we kissing?
Are
what
we doing? I'm just
going
to put my cheek in this direction just in case to play it safe. Like, we've all been there.
I feel like a way to disarm it is like I think Stu Gatz, you have to have a certain personality, right? Like Stu Gatz is one, Chris is one that have these personalities where you're just like, get in here, I'm a hugger. And then you just give them a hug. You know what I'm saying? You announce it and you're just like, I hug everybody. You know what I mean? And then it disarms like the awkwardness of the situation.
Yes, I love a good hug.
Now, Whittingham, so you understand how strange it was at Univision for you to go one day from being someone who never greeted with kisses to being a kisser. Imagine if all of a sudden you came in here one day and Roy that day was a hugger. Like, just every day from then on, you'd come in there and he'd be like, get in here, big guy. Great to see you. Love to see you. And gives you like a vigorous hug as opposed to his morning threat of I'll punch you in the cheek if you give me a greeting.
How much have I been drinking? Get your hand off my back.
Oh, wow.
There's actually an added like phrase in Spanish that makes things even more awkward if you don't kiss someone hello when you see them the first time. Because I would get it a lot as a kid, and I thought it was, like, really weird. So you go in, you don't give the person hello, and then they get upset because they don't get the hello kiss, and they go, no dormimos junto, which means we didn't sleep together. Yeah. Like, come in here, give me a kiss. We didn't sleep together. And it's like, whoa, okay, I'm 14.
Dan, has Roy ever hugged you?
He has when he's really? Drinking. Yes, when he's drinking.
He's in the drink,
He's capable of it, but I don't think he's capable of it at 8 a.m. I don't think he's capable. He comes in here. When you speak of mood and brood and not saying hello to people, Roy, for 20 years now, has stomped into the office, and everyone says hello to Roy, and Roy just sort of grumps through it.
Yeah, I do the head nod, and I move on to work.
Roy's also a dangerous one, though, because Roy if you say, how's it going, Roy will tell you how it's going. So, like, the empty request of, like, hey, how's it going? Oh, great. It's like, Roy will tell you, like, oh, a tree fell on my car yesterday. And it's like, oh, God. Okay, here we go again. Yeah, the neighbor and the tree. Right. Yeah.
That's your fault. Right.
Heard this
how's
one.
They want to know, don't ask.
Well, Whittingham, when you hit Roy with you all right, do you ever get a no, I'm not, actually?
Because usually it's followed by a grunt. Of some sort.
None of your goddamn business.
No,
just
like,
blow it out
it's
your ass.
Just like a, that's it.
That's how you do it. I mean, let's get right to it. Like, some mornings you need a hug, you need a hello, you need how's everything, but most mornings we really just need a grunt. I mean, let's get to work, let's do the show, and let's go,
Chris Cody, didn't like a month ago I hear you talking about what was the value in coming home and asking your wife what her day was like?
I've just learned as a married man, I guess this is going to also make me sound like a jerk. No, I'm just saying there is just a palpable difference in the evening when you remember to ask your spouse, how was your day? And I know I'm generally someone that does it, but there are days where they might fall through the cracks and you realize, oh, it's 7:30. She's a little cold. Oh, wait. I have not asked her how her day was yet.
So when you ask her, do you say dinner and then the emoji and then how was your day?
No, I see this is all in person, so I can't do an emoji.
But you feel like this has strengthened your relationship? It gets you...
I've just noticed... It's the height of romance. Hey, fellas out there, when you get home, and ladies.
Do you know how little this is above an ape? Just that you've trained to come
when
home.
When you don't bark what's for dinner at her, she tends to soften. Interesting.
Well, she usually asks me what's for dinner, you know? Right. If you guys really want to know the dynamic.
Yes.
That's a cooking man right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I mean...
I can.
Wait, hold on. Are you prepared with follow-up questions to that? How are you doing?
Yes, yes. I say, how's Sarit? That's one of her coworkers.
You don't need names.
Right.
Don't need names.
That's very specific. Does your wife have a problem with Sarit?
Wait, every night you're checking in on Sarit? Yeah.
No, I just...
text Sarit, hey, Sarit, how are you doing?
It's kind of like lying. It's kind of like lying. The more details,
Kristen
the better.
Or his wife how they're doing, but he is asking Sarit.
If you give if you just say a specific name of somebody, it makes you seem more into it.
Ah, yes.
Good. Oh,
wow. Right, you know, so that's names, how it's like.
Right. So taking an interest.
Yeah, actually.
No, Chris is right. The details matter. Yes.
It proves that I'm listening when she talks about Sarit.
So you just remember names and like phrases of things that are going
you're
on.
Like
you just kind of. This is genius.
You are
yeah.
like a robot who's learned how to care. Like
you, thank you. I have.
How
like most men, Dan.
I know. I got everyone throwing stones in here like you're all perfect.
Whittingham, when you learned, because being confronted by a coworker, rarely are the life lessons quite that overt, that abrupt, that clear. You went from one day, you were somebody who walked into a place and did not say hello, and you were not a person after that confrontation. You left changed after that discussion with Pele.
Yes. After Pele pulled me up for my lack of pleasantries, it was fixed the next day. But I think it led me on a correction course through life that I need to add more pleasantries into my life. That there is... And by the way, every time I get a text from like my scheduler at Univision, it's, hi, how are you? And then we follow on. Like, they are so nice that they have taught me a lesson in pleasantries, in the value of good morning, the value of how are you, even if in the end, nothing comes from it. And you feel like it's an unproductive part of your life. It's important to signal to people that you care.
It does not, but you don't care. You're only signaling it to them.
I'm slowly but surely actually starting to care.
Yeah, the caring is not the important part. Yeah, it's the signaling that you care, not the actual caring.
Exactly. No, it's not. But you have to. It has to come from a genuine place in order for it to actually have learned the lesson.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. What do you do? Actually care? Or signal you care. Because I do think that Whittingham, when he says, you're right, it's the most efficient way to show people that you care while not actually
caring. The problem is that he's typing when you're answering the question and not looking at you anymore. Right. He's like, yeah, right? And then immediately turns away before you can get it out of your mouth.
I'm listening.
Wait a minute.
When you nothing says I don't care like I'm typing listening. On your keyboard. No,
wait a minute.
Nothing.
On
playing
Thursday.
Wordle and Octurtle or whatever
on
the hell it's
Thursday.
Called.
On Thursday, me, Jeremy Tesche, Chris Whittingham, last ones here. We're sitting in this room. I go, oh, what are you guys doing this weekend? Anything fun? And Woody's like in his computer being a robot. And then after like a split second of realizing he's a robot, he's like, wait, let me be a human for a second and have actually engaged. That was it.
I actually said out loud, Chris Cody, I apologize. I haven't been listening. Let me be a person now, and I'm going to listen to your weekend plans. Mm-hmm. What's going on? What do you have?
Mr. Perfect.
What did he do?
I don't remember.
Oh, wow, you jerk! We texted about it after
you
what
liar.
I was wearing.
Oh, that's right. He went to a wedding.
You asshole.
He put on his fun suit.
You lied to me.
He put on his fun suit. Damn it.
Wait, what's a fun suit?
Oh, he got a new color suit. Yeah. And wow. He determined, Chris Cody, that so he wanted to go for a fun color. Didn't want to show up in the traditional black or blue or
really?
Gray.
Really? Wait a
minute.
So
he showed up at a wedding.
Dangerous.
Right. So he bought a suit. It was a beige suit. Look tremendous, But he decided to not go full suit because he figured that would be too look at me at a wedding that he was going to that wasn't really for a close friend. So he didn't want to be look at me guy at the wedding.
That's the key. If you're going to be a look at me person at a wedding, it's got to be someone you're kind of close to. I went to a wedding this past weekend of my neighbors, who I'm very friendly with, but in the scheme of their whole wedding, I was probably pretty low on the totem pole. Yeah. So I didn't want to walk into that wedding, you know, guns blazing. So I didn't go. I bought the full beige suit, but I only wore the jacket. I went blue pants. I went more tame because I put on the whole beige thing, and I was just like,
"Do you have a picture?"
I have a picture of what I ended up going with.
I feel like a suit or wedding, like unless you want people to look at you, you have to just do black or blue or maybe gray. Even gray, sometimes you'll stand out in the crowd of suits.
Even with my beige jacket, I only had the jacket. Everything else was really normal. I felt insecure there.
Like
about
it was too much?
Because a couple people were like, hey, nice jacket. It's like, oh, I mean, thank you. Because it is
the
a nice
bride
jacket.
Was one of them,
It's not about me today, though. Right.
And the funny thing is I actually, my neighbors that got married were leaving early in the afternoon to go to their wedding. And I was yelling from a distance, hey, big day, big day. They thought that I was yelling. Like later on, I found this out. They thought I was yelling, you're late. You're late. So like literally the bride was pissed off at me that I was like shaming her for being late to her wedding when really I was only saying it's a big day, big day. And then I walked in with a beige suit and I was just, I was very popular at that wedding.
Stop yelling things at people. This is how you get in trouble.
I was trying to support them on their big day. Hey, big day. This is exciting. I'm excited to go to your wedding.
They know it's a big day.
But then you're like, they're like, we're not late. We're not late. They were late, actually.
This
it was like 3 p.m.
straight out of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I love the idea that the bride, I'm gonna, in my mind, she's going to be in the gown already, and they're heading to the wedding in the car with the cans, and you're yelling, even though that's not the order it goes. That's how it's working in my mind. You're yelling, hey, you're late to them. She gets in the car and she immediately starts mother bleeping you.
Why did we invite them?
Well, he didn't even say hello before he screamed you're late at them.
She's in the car on her big day. Can you believe this mother bleeper?
It was the first thing because you know how you do the thing at weddings where like, all right, your table, it's your turn to go up there and take a picture with the bride and groom. It's like our table's turn. Hey, congratulations. She's like, you said we were like, it was the first thing they said to me.
She's been holding on to it the entire vows.
The husband
everything.
Was like, hey, there's Chris, the guy that said we were late for our own wedding. I was like, no, I said it's a big day.
No, and then Chris, the better part is then she locks eyes. You're not even noticing. Look at swaggering big boy coming in here in his beige suit. He looks better than I do in my gown. He's trying to steal the wedding after telling me that I'm late. What an asshole.
How do you feel about the video person when he does come by your table? Like, are you getting involved there? Are you scampering away?
Cheers to the camera. Like, happy couple.
Just a quick one. Right. Something quick.
See, this is why he has the personality of I'm a hugger, because he'll play to the camera. When the camera's going around, especially like at the reception, when it's on the dance floor, it's like GTFOH with this camera. You know what I mean? Like, I'm dancing behind the camera person because I'm like, I do not want this camera to capture me and have these people watch a video, which they're never going to watch, by the way, but watch this video 20 years from now making fun of me.
There's also that awkward moment where you're on the dance floor and then everyone opens up around you and you're suddenly in the middle of a dance circle.
Ooh.
What do you...
everyone's got to have a move.
You fake a heart attack?
Yeah, I just sometimes go,
what?
I fall to the ground and they're like, oh, whoa, let's
That's
dance around someone
me,
else.
Yes.
Oh, but then...
No one wants to dance around a heart attack, Victor.
No, but Billy, you fake a heart attack, you fall to the floor, and then the music pulsates you back up your knee,
and then
that's your big move. It's like doing a thing in my chest.
And then I do the worm and it's a whole thing. I love weddings. I don't.
You fake heart attacks.
Everyone's got to have a move though for the middle of the dance circle though. I don't have mine. I'm taking suggestions on Twitter. If you want
to, run away, run to the bar.
I'll throw the Michael Jackson kick out there every once in a while.
You do? Do you guys do
that's
the thing?
Do it for us right now.
Where you dance down the line,
Chris? That's a nervous.
I have to see it.
That's a nervous tick you have. The Michael Jackson move is exactly what you did in front of the Panthers locker room. in front of the Panthers locker room when you and Roy were introducing the Panthers. It's what separated you from Roy. Roy had joy, but Roy had joy, but Roy could not do the Michael Jackson move of Klay Thompson and others. Let's see the famous move. Yes, yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a lie.
Hula hoop.
Are you okay?
Jessica was weirdly delighted by, I guess, you're
he's going to be on the IL with a hip flexor injury later today.
Going back to some of the poll questions at Lebatard Show, are you someone who makes love to the camera when it comes around to your table at a wedding?
You hate that thing, don't you?
Yeah, I don't love it.
Right.
I don't imagine many people do. You think there is a personality type, I suppose, that just dies for that moment. I disagree with you, Billy. I do think people like looking back on those things, especially many years later when you can, and if your friends could say something heartfelt, it is beautiful, but I do think people get super self-conscious around camera.
Well, let's do a poll of the six married people that are in this room right now. How many have gone back and watched their wedding video?
I didn't get one.
What, Billy, you didn't get one?
No.
You were so against this, you didn't even have one made?
No.
Pictures?
I didn't. I have pictures. I didn't have a wedding video.
I watched it for the first time like a couple months ago with my daughter.
Really?
Yeah.
I've watched mine.
Lewis has seen mine, weirdly enough.
Well, what did you yell at a watch party? Like, come watch my wedding?
No, I don't even know how he saw it.
Stugatz is so jealous of Lewis right now, just sitting around.
I need access.
Watching you be beautiful.
Did you guys have, like, were you microphoned for your wedding video?
I wish. That would have been great.
I went to a wedding in Puerto Rico, and these people kill me now, but I don't care. I went to a wedding in Puerto Rico where the bride and groom had microphones on, right? And it was at this old church in Old San Juan, and there was no air conditioning. And it was like a whole thing, like, oh, Mark Anthony got married here, so it's like, we need to get married here. So we went to this church, no air conditioning, in the middle of summer. It was August. It was a, like, noon wedding. It was so hot. Everyone was sweating, drenched, all this stuff. So the groom passes out or is on the verge of passing out. And everyone's like worried.
Like during the ceremony.
So the groom is there and he's like, they have to fan him off, takes off the jacket. You see it's covered in sweat. And everyone's like, oh my God, poor guy, whatever.
But it's not just sweat. It's all the moment. It's all of it, right?
Well, and it's like 8,000 degrees and you have a microphone and a pack and all this stuff on, right? So everyone's like, okay, whatever. A year later, they decide to watch on their anniversary of their wedding, watch the video. And they were mic'd up when this was happening. And the bride, when it's going on, sees him, and he's like, "I don't feel well. I don't feel well."
Oh, no.
She goes, "Don't do this to me today."
Mic for sounds.
That is so good. I wish we had all the wedding mic'd for sound.
Oh, if only NBA wired for sound was that good.
Yes.
Better than any NFL mic'd up ever.
But like Chris, no, like, hey, how are you doing?
Yes.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight? Or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Libertard.
Take a mental picture.
Okay.
I take a mental picture by blinking.
Yeah, that, so I blink. Just did that.
Okay, great.
Stugatz.
So you've taken a mental picture. Now. Mm-hmm.
You should make a noise, too.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz.
I do believe that people compete to be in the video or be in, like, the most amount of pictures. I do think that there is some, like, mini competition.
There's always that person.
There's always a look at me, Louie, who's like, yeah. I'm the best friend. I'm going to be all over this wedding video. This is really for me and not the bride and groom.
But if weddings are something that you dread going to or become an obligation, I imagine that there are some people who say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to dominate. I'm going to dominate where I can entertain. I'm going to keep myself entertained by talking to every camera, dancing in every circle. I'm going to bring the energy. And who doesn't like that person? That person's annoying. We don't like that person.
I mean, it's just kind of one of those things where then if you're the bride and the groom, you look back on the pictures and you're like, who is this guy who's in literally every photo wearing a beige suit?
I used to be an over dancer at a wedding, but I've tamed it down. Like in my early 20s when my friends were getting married, I would just be on the, like, I'd be sweaty by the end of the wedding because I would just be out on the dance floor.
That's not the point. You should be sweaty at the end of a wedding. You should really give it your all for show.
I just tamed it down. Like, I would be a lot of times the guy, like, bringing people out to the dance floor. Like, you don't want, like, it's just a little too, right. It's like, I've just learned my wife gets, you know, she doesn't love that version of me. So I've just realized.
You would walk table to table and be like, let's go, let's go. You're motivating people.
There might be a correlation here. I might have tamed down the drinking at the weddings, too. I think there's a correlation here between the dancing and the drinking.
There is a lane here for, I'd like to do this with you, and I'd like to do it with Stugatz. Top five versions of you your wife does not like.
Oh, God.
I mean, I'll give you guys time to think about this.
So many.
I don't know if our phone lines work around here, but I really would like to be able to access the audience and have people call in with just what it is that they say to pretend they care about another, to say hello, but not with any real interest in what the answer is. Like, what is your go-to greeting? I'd like it. No pleasantries. Just come in, get out. Only pleasantries.
No pleasantries, just your pleasantries.
No pleasantries, only pleasantries. Yes. Can I give out? Bob has come in. Bob has inspired us today.
Go to Bob up.
Bob's joy because he came in and he greeted everyone. He's here at 5 o'clock holding the empire together. We all come in. Nobody says hello. We get to work and the building farts us out.
I ask Bob every morning if he's all right. And he says most mornings that he is.
How thoughtful of you.
You have not had a great segment.
Who, me?
In how it is that you will be received.
Every wedding has that one person that the bride and groom privately say, that was X's wedding yesterday, right?
Oh, yeah.
They own the wedding?
Yeah, like that was...
There should be an MVP trophy.
Yeah, no, like this was... Like, we threw a party for X person yesterday. That was that person's day, not our day.
Is that person ever the bride or groom?
Never.
I feel like the bride or groom are always too dizzy by the end of the night to have actually, like, been the star of their own show. Never. There's always one drunk uncle... that has gotten off and has been
or the
star
couple
of the
that
show.
Gets engaged, which is the worst.
Wait,
move.
People do that?
Yeah, people get engaged.
Oh, God. You have to ask permission to the couple to do that, right?
That's obnoxious.
You can't just
that
do that at a reception unless you've approved it with the
that's
couple.
That's appalling.
It was like Dan's wedding. It quickly turned into the Dan Patrick wedding. I mean, he owned that thing.
To me, that's what that was.
Dude,
it was held in court, and I loved every second of it.
That was me juggling for Dan Patrick.
It was the Stugatz wedding for me, Clive. When you stroll in late, and the whole night, all anyone wanted to talk about at Dan's wedding was, is Stugatz actually going to show up? You did, you held court, it was a whole big thing.
DP was the opening act,
I left early. I did a game at Univision. I introduced myself to various people, gave them kisses on the cheek, handshakes and hugs, did the game, came back, and Stugatz still hadn't shown up.
Is that just you? Was that just you wanting to say that you left and came back to the wedding?
I left and came back.
Showing the effort.
Stugatz arrived.
Yeah. Wow, what a good
and what
then,
time was that?
When Stugatz arrived, it was the Stugatz show.
There were
DP was upset.
They were.
It was also the Pat Riley show too.
I missed that part.
That was really brief, yeah. though. Yeah. Cup of coffee at the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there a Heat game that night or something?
No, please.
There were two other Tommy Topper situations that you don't want at my wedding. One, another woman in a white dress, which was fairly shocking.
Name her.
And a dude who was just wandering around offering everyone cocaine.
You get married in Miami.
Surprisingly, I didn't get that offer.
Andre Dawson? The Hawk? He was there. I mean... Not certain about the cocaine, but he was there. I'm just guessing. I mean, you heard about the Hawk, right? He owns a funeral home now. I mean, just trying to get away from it, Dan. I called him a coke dealer, and he's not. And so I'm trying to shift the conversation somewhere else. Yeah.
Okay, very well. Well, the coke dealer, of course, was Stugatz. He gets there late and then starts trying to give.
I could have used some. I'm tired.
Weddings can be hard. I don't know. Do you put it on the poll, Gamble? Do you like going to weddings at Le Batard?
What? The quick nose, that's no. appalling. No. You don't like putting a suit on and showing up for a pre-catered party?
No.
There's too many weddings these days. I feel like because of social media, everyone stays in better touch with people that were once people that you wouldn't invite to your wedding that now you are. And then, obviously, Chris... You don't have to deal with this yet because you're single right now. But when you start dating someone, your weddings just automatically double, sometimes triple, if your significant other is someone more sociable than you. And so your whole calendar year revolves around weddings, and you put all your money and effort and time into just going to different weddings.
Yeah. Once you turn 30, that kind of dries up. In my 20s, I went to a ton of weddings. Like, now I'm, like, longing for them. Right. Like, I went through, a 7-year period where it was, like 5 a year.
I love going to weddings so much that, like, I'm scouting my friends to be like, all right, when's the next big wedding that I get an invite to and I'm fired up to go?
Whittingham, I'm telling you that audience members, you love to go to weddings, and it's unusual. I would love that some future permutation of our show, that a sponsor is sponsoring love by sending Chris Whittingham to a lucky listener's wedding, because I'm assuming if you enjoy a wedding that way, and I heard you and Heidi talking about this, I was
Hildy
again.
That's a
I
fine,
did this.
Jesus,
$5.
I mean, that's a coworker.
It's unbelievable. It's amazing.
It's true.
Yeah,
it should be $10 for a coworker.
No, it's not. No, wait a minute. What do you mean it's $10 for a coworker?
It's another level of not knowing someone's name. Wait a minute. You walk faster every day.
I think it's $5 first fine. Second time, it doubles.
You should have pulled a Stugatz and said her name should be Heidi.
$5 is the maximum fine. I'm going to make that mistake a lot because one of my best friends in college was named Heidi. And
it's saving a butte.
It's going to keep happening to me. That's why it keeps happening.
in college,
it can't be more. Are you guys trying to create a fine that exists between the $5 fine, which is the maximum amount fine, and the $50 fine, which is the death fine, the one-time only death
fine. This is a second violation, though. It's the second time you've called a coworker by the wrong name.
And how many times have you read the internet wrong? So we're multiplying the fines now? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, but that's a major fine. I mean, mine's a two-minute penalty. Yours is five.
The major fines around here are $5. There's $5 on the console now. Are you arguing?
This is a double major.
Are you arguing? Are we setting the historic precedent of there will be a fine between $5 and $50? Because we've got $5 fines, and the greatest of the fines is the $50 fine.
I am setting that precedent.
And
yes.
For what? And what is how?
If you call a coworker by their wrong name a second time, it should be $10. Okay, and then every time after that, tack on another five. Is that fair?
No, but
it should motivate you to never do it again.
That's fine. It is not fair, but that is fine. I will take that going forward. I'm not, it's not
starting right now.
It's not going to be retroactive. Talking about local sports, which is not something that we've done today.
You're welcome.
As Chris,
weddings are sports, Dan.
As Whittingham and Billy start to take phone calls,
I wonder if we're having breakfast sandwiches though, after all that.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.